You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nancy. I'm a food addict and compulsive overeater. And I am so grateful to be here with you today. Thank you, Judith, for asking me to share. And thank you, Santa, for explaining about what this meeting is all about. I hadn't asked Judith, and I felt a little daunted when I found out it was a how meeting, but it's going to be fine, right? Anyway, experience, strength, and hope, what I used to be like, what happened, and what I am like now. I came into OA in 1978, and I've been here for quite a long time. I have experienced recovery, long stretches of abstinence, and relapse. Right now, I am, I've got about 3 years of good abstinence. What's that? You're giving me a time's out sign. What does that mean?
What's your timing? What kind of time prompts would you like? We forgot to ask, and I apologize.
Okay.
20 minutes.
Okay. How about... you know, let me know when it's 10 or something. I don't know. Yeah. That's so funny. Anyway, as I was saying, I have chronic back pain, and it pretty much developed. I mean, I've had back pain since I was, you know, a teenager on and off, but it's gotten worse as I have advanced in years. So for that reason, you know, I shared earlier that I might be lying on my back in the park when I do this, but I'm not. I'm in the car because that seemed like the most private, confidential space. So anyway, I think I've always been a compulsive eater. There was a lot of trauma, screaming, violence in my home. I turned to food. I actually had a food flashback memory. Yesterday, I was making something that required some lemon juice. And I got the lemon juice and I opened it up and I sniffed it, right? Because I wanted to see how it smelled. And I just got this big whiff and flashback memory of lemon meringue pie. I don't know. Are you allowed to say foods here in this meeting? Sorry, I should have asked. It's okay.
Can you be honest, it's sure.
It's up to me, right? Okay. Anyway, my mom was like this major baker. You know, that was the way that she felt validated and connected with my father, you know, by being a very, you know, good baker and cook and all that. And she made pies a lot. She made these wonderful pies. I have to tell you, my mouth's watering, including this lemon meringue. And ultimately, you know, what I used to do is like the pie would be like half eaten in the refrigerator. There'd be half a pie. And I'd go there and like, I take my finger and kind of like, you know, just go along the edge of the pie, right? And just get a big bunch of it, you know, just shove it in my mouth. And then, you know, I would do that again and again and again until like eventually it was gone. And, you know, my mom was angry. She was just like scream at me. So yeah, I had that memory. It's been many years since I've had lemon meringue pie. Currently, I have about 3 years of, like I said, strong abstinence. I got abstinent in COVID. I know I'm jumping all over the place. Let me just take a breath here. Anyway, so I came into OA really young. OA has changed my life. And I would not be alive if it wasn't for OA. Because, you know, I just turned to food and I couldn't stop eating. And, you know, I did everything that, you know, that we do. Steal food, sneak food, you know, eat food out of the trash. You know, I mean, just like disgusting things, you know. I mean, just like bottom stuff with the food. I don't have to do that today, right? I don't have to do that today. And it is, you know, one day at a time for me. It's one moment at a time. You know, I have a higher power. I try to stay in touch with. I do weigh and measure my food. You know, I do. I'm not rigid about it. That's my program. I talk to my sponsor every day. I try or have some type of contact with her or another member. I make a lot of OA calls. I go to a lot of OA meetings. Phone meetings, I dial into, you know, Zoom meetings. I might just be driving, right? And I just put my phone on speakerphone just to like listen to a recorded meeting, right? So this is all things that have helped me stay abstinent. The last time that I relapsed, I have relapsed chronically. The last time that I relapsed, it was so bad. I mean, I was just eating sugar like out of control and, you know, I would just like wake up in the morning and I want to die, basically. I mean, I can just remember being so depressed because that's what the sugar does to me. It makes me really depressed. And literally, I mean, I've got kids. You know, just that horrible depression feeling, which I haven't had for so long. And then I've never stopped coming to OA. Okay. I have been in relapse, but that is one thing. If I have to share any message of hope and recovery, it is keep coming back no matter what, you know. And I used to hear, I'm from Detroit. I used to hear a message, which was, you know, it's darkest before dawn. Don't leave before the miracle happens. Bring the body, the mind will follow. Bring the body, the mind will follow. So even when I was in relapse and I just didn't even want to go to OA, I'm like, I know how sick I am because I can't stop eating and it's affecting my life. I'm just going to show up. And, you know, I have to tell you, I always feel better after going to an OA meeting. Always. So, yeah, super grateful. I work the steps in my life. I have sponsees. Working with sponsees, working with others is tremendously helpful. Since it is the sixth month, I was thinking I, you know, wanted to talk a little bit about the sixth step, right? Which is became willing to have our character defects removed. That's tricky, you know. That's because, you know, we've discovered what our character defects are, or character flaws, or our shortcomings in five, right? Selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, fearful, right? And, you know, those defects have almost been just like, I don't know, like a crutch for me, you know, that I'm just so used to and so comfortable and I don't even think about it, you know, or maybe it's like a cloak, but because I just go on with like, I'm afraid of this or I don't, you know, that type of stuff, but I can actually be willing. I can say, okay, honestly, this here is a shortcoming. And, you know, how can I have it be removed, right? How can I be willing? Am I willing to have this shortcoming removed? I would say 99.5% of the time, it's fear for me. For instance, I'm going to Detroit for a wedding for a few days. I'm from Detroit and so excited to go and see my family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, celebrate the wedding. And, you know, first thing when I woke up this morning, I happened to look online because I wanted to find out what time checkout time was, right? When I'm ready to leave. So I Googled the name of the hotel. Okay. All I'm going to say is what came up was that there was a domestic violence incident. There was a shooting in that parking lot of that hotel where my cousin reserved a block of rooms and where I'm supposed to be staying. Okay. What I used to be like, my first thought, I've got to call my cousin and say, is this true? Right? And my poor cousin, she's planning this wedding. My aunt is sick. She's got so much stuff going on. You know, it's pretty selfish, right? For me. I know it's true. It was in the newspaper. I'll call to verify the hotel when I cancel my reservation. So basically, I didn't have to do that because it's not about me. Selfish, self-seeking, right? I could be honest and just say, do I really need to do that? I'm thinking about someone else, right? That is a miracle because, you know, previously it was just all about me. And much of the time it still is. But hey, I'm getting better with the help of contact with a higher power. I didn't have to eat over it. I did. Thank you. I have 10 minutes left. Okay, thank you. I didn't have to eat over it. I didn't have to, you know, hurt anybody else. I can ask for help and guidance of how to handle the situation, you know, and move on, right? I've pretty much made my decision that I don't feel comfortable staying at that hotel. But, you know, we'll see. So that's one thing. Another thing. Okay. So I swim every morning because I have chronic back pain and swimming is tremendously helpful. It's like, it helps me mentally and emotionally and physically. And if I don't swim, you know, I really feel it throughout the day. So today I go to swim where I usually go. You have to make a reservation. They check me in. I get to the pool. There's no lanes. Okay, it's completely full. There's two people in every lane, okay? So I go back out there and I said to the check-in staff, I'm like, hey, there's no lanes. I'm going to go somewhere else. Can you please, you know, cancel me and not charge me? I would have never done that. You know, in the past when I was in the food and, you know, not working these 12 steps of recovery, I would have like demanded, you know, I need a lane, kick somebody out. Or, you know what? I'm just wasn't that much of a kind, empathetic human being some of the time. But yeah, so that's what I did. Okay. So then I go to the next pool because there's three pools that I can swim at. Go to the next pool. I completely forgot the water pump was broken. Because I had just gotten an email message like, oh man, I can't swim at this pool, right? So that was in Los Gatos. I'm like, okay, there's one more pool. Do I want to try it? And then like I left that pool and that was a club I belonged to. And I just said to the check-in person, I'm like, well, I forgot that the pump was broken and the pool was closed. And then I said, sometimes things just don't work out the way you expect. That is God in my life because I would have never done that. I would have like ranted to this person, this poor person who has his job checking people in. Okay. So I go to the next pool, which is in Palo Alto. So I'm already driving a lot, which is causing me pain in my back. But yeah, I got to Palo Alto and it was just like, you know, the Three Bears. It was just right. You know, I got in, I got a lane, I got to swim. You know, I didn't eat over it. I didn't yell at anybody over it. I didn't make it all about me. It's just really a miracle. Because what this program has given me, what working these steps has given me, what working with newcomers and a sponsor and you all, peace. I have peace of mind. I have frequent moments of serenity and calmness. I have days when I don't think about like binging, you know? Many days, many times. It's really a good place to be, and it's miraculous, especially with the amount of chronic pain that I'm in. But I have to say, I was fortunate to go to the OA birthday party in January. It was my first time. I'm from Detroit, and I've been in California, you know, for a while, but when I was in Detroit, I could never go to that birthday party. It was just too far, it'd be too expensive. But here I live in Northern California. I decided to treat myself. It was phenomenal. I loved it. It was just a great experience. Heard so many wonderful things. Strengthened my program. Well, I met somebody there who's from Detroit, right? Who lives in the area that I'm going to be in. And I contacted her because I'm going to this wedding. And I said, hey, you know, would love to connect with you when I'm in Detroit. Can we take a walk or have tea? She texted me back. She's like, sure, I'd love that. So I've got it. You know, I'm going to connect with a person in recovery. And believe me, this wedding is going to be full of all types of emotions. My aunt is sick. You know, my brother is an addict and using, fighting with my nephew. And I mean, this is all stuff that's like, none of my business. All I need to do, take my higher power and show up to the wedding. But I'm sensitive. You know what I'm saying? This stuff is going to affect me. Meeting with her, person in recovery, a program person, we can talk recovery program, work the steps, is going to be like such a gift. I'm really excited. Yeah, very, very much looking forward to it. I think the biggest thing that, you know, I'm experiencing in my recovery today is the ability to surrender. Because just like the swimming incident, really, I'm not in charge. And I'm human, I forget stuff. And quite often things and people don't act the way I believe they should. Things just aren't how they should be. And I'm mad about it, right? But surrendering and accepting like, hey, you know, this is the way it is. And for me, like I have, my husband he has autism. My kids have mild autism. My one son, he can be very violent and he gets dysregulated, out of control. What can I do about it? And I know this is another program, but also there's nothing I can do about it. You know, this is the kid I have. This is the family I have. This is the husband I have. This is my life. And you know something? I have a pretty darn good life. And I'm not in the food. I'm losing weight again. I also suffer from IBS, which I've had for many years, and it's gotten increasingly worse. So I work with a nutritionist. I have to be really careful with my food. But hey, I can be happy and I can accept it. And, you know, I can accept the family I have and, and just say to my higher power and to myself, this is the son that you have. This is the family that you have. You know, this is your life. And I have a higher power and I'm not eating over it. I'm not using over it. I can have serenity. I can walk away. You know, because I can't control people, places, and things. And there's many things right now in my life that, you know, just aren't the way I think they should be. However, one day at a time, I don't have to eat over it. One day at a time, I can meditate and pray. One day at a time, I can reach out to somebody else, because that is always the ticket for me. Forgetting about myself and saying, hey, how are you doing? Right? How can I help? That is like insurance when nothing else works, always. And it's really a gift, you know, it's just a blessing. I'm so grateful. I don't know what else I can say. I like being abstinent. I love you all. And thank you. Thank you for listening. I'm Nancy Rose. I'm an available sponsor and available for outreach calls. Thank you so much for having me.